You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers for Saturday, January 12th. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager over at FearTheStore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. As always, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to your podcast. A five-star review on Apple Podcasts in particular is the best way to support the show. You can find this podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at ZWM Writes. On today's show, I'm going to get into Cleveland's brutal loss to the Houston Rockets, a 141-13 loss on Friday that dropped the Cavs a full two games below the Phoenix Suns for the worst record in the NBA. It is the Cavs' 12th straight loss, their second straight on this new road trip is starting, their longest road trip of the season. Those 141 points are the most the Cavs have given up this season. That surpasses the 140 points that Cleveland gave up a whopping 2 days ago against the New Orleans Pelicans. It is very, very fair at this point, I think, to say that Cleveland has the worst defense in NBA history and that they are clearly a very, very just atrocious basketball team. That being said, we're going to start today. I'm just going to try and be positive. So I'm going to be as positive as I can in this first segment, and then we'll talk about the bat, and then we'll finish up today's show wondering really where the Cavs can go from here, how this can get a little bit better. So we're going to start positive. We're going to get into the bad of what's going on, and then we're going to try to have a little gray reality check at the end of today's show. Considering the loss, considering we haven't done this just particularly yet, that's what we're going to start with. And if you have, by the way, please go check out yesterday's show. If you need a palate cleanser, Trevor Magnotti and I did a mock draft on this week's Mock Draft Friday, so check that out. Okay, start with the positives. Ante Zizic, who led the team with 18 points off the bench, had 8 boards as well, showed some good stuff in this game. Yes, some of this came when the game didn't really matter. He did it against Nene and not Clint Capela. Very different players that present very different challenges for him. But Zizic looks like he's moving okay again after some recent injuries, specifically to his lower body. He shows that nice touch around the rim, a good feel for the offensive game, drew some fouls in this game as well. For Ante, his value does just come so much from the offensive side of the ball, and for him to make 6 of 8 shots, to go to the line 6 times and make all 6 of his attempts, that's a really, really positive thing for him and what he could carve out as a niche. I'm overall skeptical of what he is going to be as an NBA player, but I think if you look at the archetype of like a Derek Favors, he could be like a light version of that, or Jonas Valanciunas in Toronto, a later version of what Jonas is right now. Considering how this season is going and considering how it is not going to get drastically better in any way, I don't know why he shouldn't be playing 18 to 20 minutes a night. He played 24 here. He's had the injuries. He's had some DNPs. I think you're not in a super, super rush to figure out exactly what you have in Ante. He's still fairly young. He's still early in his NBA career. If you go to Early Bird Rights and you look at his contract, they have him signed through next season before he will have a rookie option for the 2020-2021 season. So they have some time to really develop him. But that does require playing time, and I think it would be good to try and get him some. There's not really a downside to it, in my opinion. To look at Jetty Osman, who had 15 points in this game and had 3 rebounds and an assist and a steal. Jetty was good in this game because he was cutting and moving and not just taking mid-range shots. He didn't make any of his 3-pointers in this game, which isn't great. You'd like to see Jetty start making that shot consistently for the year. He's still not a good 3-point shooter. He is still not someone who is a knockdown shooter who teams respect. And for percentage-wise, he's shooting 31% on 4.7 attempts. So that's a non-shooter functionally. But he was 6-7 on his shots inside the arc. That's a good number. And he made his shots in the paint. He was getting to the line. He got there three times. And he finished through some contact to get in ones. Jetty has continued to look better and better the further he gets away from that injury that caused him to miss some time. And I'm excited to see what he will look like as a cutter and a slasher around Kevin Love in a few weeks. That's one of the reasons, I think, to be interested and still watch the Cavs, even though they're a disaster right now. On the broadcast, they threw out this stat where it was like him, Pascal Siakam, and I can't remember the third guy, were the only guys to make these big leaps in points from their first last year to this year. The context there is that those guys, I can't remember the other guy, but he is like basically the one who's played, and the other guys, or he didn't play last year, and the other guys have, so there's some differences there between him and like Siakam, who was already a rotation player, but he is at least doing something in his minutes. So the defense was overall absolute garbage. We're going to definitely talk about that next. But Jetty also did make a nice rotation in this game. It's a type of rotation we have really only seen David Nwaba make with regularity this season when he's obviously been healthy, which has been not enough for my liking. So in the third quarter, the Cavs defense was all out of sorts. It was off. And Jetty rotated first to the right wing above the break to stop a pass from going there. And then when the pass went to the top of the key to Gerald Green, he rotated correctly there. He came in a bit high, like his form is not exactly low enough and controlled enough to really be in a perfect defensive position, but in this case, he did deflect the ball. He got the steal. That's progress. I will take that 10 out of 10 times because he at least did something good in the defensive end in a game where everyone was bad on defense. Two positives for Colin Sexton here. First, in the third quarter, on a fast break, he was pushing the ball up the floor off a steal, I believe, and he threw a really nice left-handed bounce pass to Osman, who was streaking up the court. This ended up in 2 points for the Cavs. This was just a nice read from Sexton, a good pass, a good touch. Good to see him kind of taking some leads there. He also was looking in this game in general. I don't think he was just... He's generally of late not just look for those mid-range shots. He's looking to pass to the corners and his shooters a bit more, and I like that he's expanding his vision a bit. And later in the third, when the Rockets were prepping to trap him, and like they did in the game, they also threw some blitzes at him after the last time. He really killed them with penetration and some nice jump shots. Sexton took a 27-foot pull-up three. This is the only three he made in the game. He was 4-10 from the field overall in this game. I know Colin cannot make that shot all the time right now. I think it is a strength issue for him. Functionally, he's just not there yet as a shooter, as a bigger guard. Just not there. But, man, it would be really good if you started just trying to take those and starting getting used to taking them. The air balls might be tough. It might be something he needs to develop confidence in and dip his toe in and slowly, slowly grow it over the course of the rest of the season. But this is how teams are defending him. They are throwing these type of looks at him pretty consistently. He has to start beating them in different ways because he's just not going to be able to drive past them and get to the rim. And I like that he took the shot, took it with confidence. More of that from Colin Sexton would be fantastic. And lastly, Rodney Hood played. They need healthy bodies. He didn't play great, 2-7 from the field. Made his two shots in back-to-back, was still that invisible Rodney Hood that we've seen far too much of. But he played, and that's a good thing for the Cavs. So we're going to take our first break. If you haven't already, you should check out Locked On Cavs on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Alexa, if you have an Echo or whatever one you have, and just say, hey, play Locked On Cavaliers. It'll play it automatically. You maybe should try that out if you're going to test that out today. But you're going to be back right after this with more Locked On Cavaliers. And we are back. Okay, so let's get into the holy crap bad defense from this game. Again, new high in points the Cavs gave up. James Harden dissected this team. There's not a lot of good from this game, as we sort of outlined. That was everything I had positive. Dumped it all out there. There was a lot in this game that was bad aside from the defense, too. For one, you saw a team that is the exact opposite of the Cavs' offense and the benefits of being really good in that way, and when Houston does. Jordan Clarkson was a disaster in this game, was not effective on offense, was even worse on defense. Campaign was more like the normal, not good campaign in his third game with the Cavs. Rodney Hood was back, as we just noted right in the previous section, but he wasn't all that good. The offense as a whole was in the 40th percentile in the league, 106 points per 100 possessions, despite all out of garbage time, despite them being better in the half court than normal. Also really bad. The Cavs were actually negative in points per possession in transition. Negative. They were negative 1.1 points negative in transition. That's really bad, and is not a good sign for how they execute in on the break. But because this is what stands out a lot in a lot of the games we've seen this season and everything, for me what really stands out is just there's so many ways the Cavs defense is an outright disaster right now. Number one, I think it shows you how problematic it is when they're matched up with James Harden, who, again, dominated this game. He scored 43 points in three quarters. He could have dropped 50, easy, if he played in the fourth. He was toying with the Cavs. I felt as if he wasn't even necessarily going full go the whole time in this game. Alec Burks started on him, and when it was Burks, Harden got onto Lynn, got whatever shot he wanted. When Jetty was on him, which was a bit in the second half, he toyed with Jetty. He kind of pulled Jetty and took advantage of Jetty's over-eagerness on defense and just kind of made him shift, fall away, and gave him wide-open shots for him to make. When it was Jordan Clarkson, who is quite literally the worst defender on the Cavs, in my opinion, maybe Sexton's worse, but it's close, and that's saying something because Clarkson's obviously older. Clarkson had no idea how to read Harden's hips and his movement and just had no shot at defending him. Harden is obviously one of the best scorers in the NBA. He might be the league MVP this year based on how he's played the last couple weeks and has really pushed the Rockets back up to being a really good team. But he's just toying with these guys. They had absolutely no shot. Tristan Thompson had no success on the switches either, and those switches weren't even intentional. They were sort of just because the defense got scattered and they just had to do it. The Cavs don't have many good defenders, and I think this is just a team that has no freaking shot at slowing down James Harden when there's no David Nwaba. You watch this game, and you see why he matters. You see why he's a player the Cavs should want to have around, in my opinion. They just need plus defenders. They need a guy like him who's strong, because Harden's a very strong player, who doesn't overreact to shiftiness, who can test shots in a smart way. They need a guy like Nwaba. He's obviously not going to slow down Harden, take Harden out of the game or anything like that, but he's by far and away the best wing defender they have, and they need a guy like that. They just don't have many other good defenders. It's a real, real problem. It's a big roster deficiency that they have right now. You just look at the last time these two teams played, the game the Cavs won back in November. Harden had 40 points in that game, but Nwaba held him to 5 of 14 shooting when they were matched up and made life really hard for him. They don't have anyone else that is capable of doing that against any wing scorer in the league. It could be someone like Jason Tatum, and they have no one that can really handle that. Or pick Victor Oladipo, or Giannis, obviously he's a freak, or... You know, I'd have concerns against a number of guys. You know, even someone like DeMar DeRozan. I don't think they have anyone in this roster that can handle what could be thrown at them there. So there's also an effort problem, I think, with the defense. The Rockets got a lot of points basically because they ran the floor really well and are precise about running the floor, and the Cavs were just not always aware. They were getting blown up basically because they were throwing passes up the court, Harden in particular, just dropping dimes to Capella, and they were just getting beat. The Cavs' defensive scheme maybe is not great. They were forced to switch in this game when they weren't really prepared to do it. This is a team that tried to switch earlier in the year, and it was a disaster. You saw how much it threw them off, I thought, in this game when they switch, and how they just don't really know what to do with that. It's just not their style. And again, they do not have very many good defenders. Nwaba is probably the only plus wing defender. Thompson and Nance are fine. I don't think anyone else is good. The reality. But their scheme isn't good. Michael Ngobardi, I think there's just no way I think what he's doing is helping. And they could play harder. It's a combination of all of this that I think contributes to it. I think the thing that is most fixable is just the effort. Larry Nance has talked about this several times this year. He just feels like they need to play harder. We're literally 2 weeks removed from Larry Drew saying he was going to play Jalen Jones more, and Jalen Jones isn't a good NBA player. He's not a real NBA player. Basically, he said he was maybe going to start him, a two-way player, because he plays hard. If they at least just played harder, this could get at least a little bit better. They're the worst defense in the NBA by several points. It's probably quite literally the worst defensive rating of any team as tabulated by NBA.com/stats. That's just... since it goes back to like 96, the 96-97 season, that's how bad this defense is. It's just god-awful. Just playing harder, I think, at least could raise it. It's not going to fix all the issues. You can't replace all the talent they have and are really lacking, but playing harder would help. Now, for me, there are things this season that are very clear about where the Cavs are at right now. The offense obviously needs to be upgraded. I don't think there are very many guys I would want to keep based on this roster. But for me, I think the big thing is that the Cavs roster is just not built to make the defense respectable. Some of that is carryover from the LeBron era. Some of that is pulling guys like Jetty and Colin who are young and they're just not going to be good on defense because young players are never good on defense. And this is not a league anymore, I think, where it does not you don't have to have the Thunder or the Pacers or the Raptors defense or the Bucks defense and be a top 10 defense and be super elite on that end to be a good team. The Cavs are proof of that. They were just good enough when Kyrie and LeBron were around and could score just a ton of points. If I was going to have to say I could either have an elite offense and an average defense or an elite defense and an average offense, I'm picking the elite offense 10 out of 10 times. But it has to be better. If the Cavs are ever going to want to compete even for the 8th seed or just not be a laughingstock in the league, the defense has to be better so that when they take the court, their defense doesn't just immediately take them out of games. And they are a long way from that right now. It's going to take the right draft. It's going to take new coaching. It's going to take replacing the guys they have on the roster in free agency and hoping that they at least have some good defenders they can hold on to. But they're a long ways away from having a good defense. And I think above all their other issues, that just takes them out of games. Their offense isn't good. They have injuries. Every other issue you want to list out, the defense is just such a disaster that they have no shot to really do anything against teams right now because their defense takes them out of games. So we're going to take one more break and then they're going to be back to kind of put some of this more in context. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers. And we are back. Okay, last segment. Where do the Cavs go from here? This is the 12th straight loss. It is continued awful defense. It is a coach that I just don't know how you could ever bring him back at this point. It is a roster that I just lose interest in more and more in a lot of these guys every game. This is a team that is dead on its feet. It is beat up. It is destroyed from all the hits it's taken, and it can only get so much better. There's very little more that it can really do to improve and to salvage the season. I think in the short term, the best thing that could happen for the Cavs is that it's a team that could get healthy. So Kevin Love will come back sometime this month, maybe early next month. That's a good thing. He's going to provide structure to the offense, take some of the offensive pressure off Jetty, off of Tristan, off of Colin Sexton, off of Jordan Clarkson, and make them at least more competent on that end of the floor. The Cavs are just an atrocious half-court offense. They don't really run anything that is hard to defend. They don't have a lot of ball movement. They don't have a lot of cutting. They throw little wrinkles where it's like when Jordan Clarkson cuts, it's a big deal. That's not a good sign for the offense. It is still, you know, as of Friday, it is the 24th ranked offense in the NBA. It is only better than the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Suns, the Magic, the Hawks, and the Bulls. It's not good. It is below league average. It is a full, the league's best offense is the Warriors. It is a full 7 points, a full 8 points, basically, worse per 100 possessions than that offense. That is an astronomical gap to the top of the league. Kevin Love is not going to fix all of that, but he will at least make it better. Larry Nance will come back. He's I think, improved. It'll be good to get him more minutes as a shooter, as a creator, as just doing some things that have made him interesting this year. I think seeing if he could play with Zizic, that could be really interesting to see if they have these four bigs and if maybe these four bigs all are on the roster next year, although that seems sort of crazy. Maybe you could find out what pairings actually work and at least get some two-man data duo to kind of see what could work there, or data on two-man lineups, excuse me. Getting David Nwaba back would be a really, really big one. Just getting a guy who can defend multiple positions, who can help you be a little more stable on defense, would be a really big thing. And yes, trades are going to come. Alec Burks cannot be long for Cleveland, right? Like, we just assume he's going to get traded. They are going to lose a lot more games, too. They are currently at 8 wins. They're not going to finish with, like, 12 wins, I don't think, or anything like that. But they're 8-35. They're the only team with a winning percentage below 20%. They're the only team with single-digit wins in the NBA. They're, again, a full 2 games worse than the Phoenix Suns. They've lost 12 in a row. They're not going to get that much better. This is just an atrocious team that can't get better, and there's going to be more change in everything that isn't going to help with continuity or a group really coming together. If they get guys back injured, guys are going to be coming in, guys are going to be getting shipped out, and they're going to have to relearn some of this, and Larry Drew is going to have to find things that work on the fly, and that obviously has not gone well to date when he's had to do it so far. So for me, I think this season is really just about finishing as respectably as you can. We are, I'm saying this, you could have said this weeks ago, I think we all knew this, but the Cavs are 8-35, they are past the halfway point by two games at this point. They are never going to make the playoffs, they're going to be one of the worst three teams in the league, most likely. They're going to end up with a lottery pick, and the rest of the year is just about, I think it's about just trying to be a little more competent when you're healthy. You have some excuses because of these injuries, because your best player, your most important offensive player, has played in a whopping four games. It wasn't even really good when he played those four games, if we're going to be frank. It's about getting him back and being competent. And then it's finding out when the summer comes and when you draft and when you hire a new coach and you kind of start retooling what you have here. You need to just kind of spend the rest of the season finding out what is salvageable from this group. And I think using that to inform your decisions and then trying to be very smart this summer. It could mean trading guys. It could mean sort of trying to piecemeal and take it in the long run. Like, it's not going to be an easy thing to redo this roster for next season. I mean, you look at who's under contract. Kevin Love, Tristan, Clarkson, Henson, Delly, Sexton, Osman, Nant, Zizic, all under contract next season. So they have a decent amount of guys that are going to be there. Nawab is a restricted free agent, so it seems like if they want him, they can have him back, which is a good thing. They will add free agents. There will be guys that we don't know of as Cavs yet that will be there. John Henson, hasn't played a game yet, and five bigs is a lot. So who out of that group is going to get dealt or moved on from at some point? That, to me, just seems like an inevitable reality that there will be some change in that front court. But it's about finding what is salvageable, what you can build on for next year, and trying to just get guys strengthened, get guys a little bit better off, get guys kind of set up for success in ways they just aren't right now. That is what the rest of the year is about. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the draft. We're going to spend a lot of time kind of breaking down what is bad. But for me, when I evaluate this team the rest of the year, it's going to be through the lens of what is actually worthwhile and what is actually showing you what could show up in the future and matter when the Cavs are going to be a little competent again. There's only so many times that I can say and write and tweet that this is an atrocious defensive team, that they need to retool a lot. Like, that is obvious. So we need to look, I think, as a collective group, and for me specifically as a journalist looking at this team, it's about finding out what is actually going to allow them to have success in the future, or what is going so bad that maybe we thought it was going to be part of the plan, but it can't be because it's not working out. For me, this has sort of been where I am at with this team for the last couple weeks, but for some reason, I can't tell you exactly why, this was the game that really crystallized that line of thought for me. All right, so that is going to be it for today's show. Saturday, January 12th, the Cavs again lose to the Rockets, give up a season-high 141 points in the loss. James Harden cut them up, and it was never really competitive. So we're going to be back on Monday. We'll do our check-in on Colin Sexton. We're going to do a recap of Cavs-Lakers. LeBron James will not play in that game, so no LeBron Cavsy thinks kind of coming out of that one. We'll see if the Cavs can snap this losing streak against the Lakers team that will be playing a lot of young guys and is fighting for its life in the playoff picture in the West right now. So if we're going to do a mailbag soon as well. Would love to do just a big mailbag, maybe a multi-part mailbag as we get closer to the All-Star break. So if you have questions you want answered in that mailbag, you can submit those to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. I'll throw up a post on the Cavs Reddit page as well. And a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts does guarantee your question gets answered. And ad for the sword, check out the draft coverage, check out our game stuff, and specifically, please go check out 2-for-1. Carter Rodriguez has written the first few of these, but it's our new series, Replacing Player Grades, where we're looking at two things that are bad and one good from a game if they lose, and vice versa if they win. It's really fun. I think it's engaging. I think it's really good change in a different way for us to really write about that team, which I think is needed because it's just different than when we envisioned doing sort of what we did last year, because it's just a different reality. So thank you for listening. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for January 12th, 2019. I am Chris Manning, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend. Watch something a little more competent than the Cavs. Maybe a movie, maybe just some Luka Doncic basketball, but we'll talk to you then.